We have been looking into the life of good King Josiah for this morning services this month in our Bible character series. Josiah's story is found in 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23, also in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and 35. So this is our fourth part in looking at this man's rule, life, and some of the things that he did. I would say it would be well worth your time to reread those chapters in the Old Testament historical books about Josiah, and just to remind yourself of some of the things that he did. He was a good king, and he was a great reformer in Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah, during his days. We've learned along the way that Josiah had three root fundamental character qualities that served him wonderfully in the days when he ruled in the kingdom of Judah. Do you remember what the three qualities of Josiah were? We've mentioned them the last 3 weeks, so you should have them in mind anyways. Number one, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That's the very first thing that is said of him, next to how old he was, his mother's name, and how long he ruled. But it says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Contrary to his own father, Amnon, who was an evil king, contrary to his grandfather, who was Manasseh, who was an evil king, kind of repented at the end of his life, tried to make some reforms, but was never successful. So two evil kings, and yet Josiah has come along to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So I think we learned the lesson that it doesn't really matter what your parental heritage is. You can always still do what's right in the sight of the Lord, even if your parents or grandparents may be evil and wicked. Doesn't mean that you have to be that way. You can make some changes. So first thing about Josiah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Second thing it says about Josiah is he walked in, and we paid attention to the words here, he walked in all the way, singular, of David, his father. And we understand that it's his forefather, because David was quite a number of great-grandfathers behind Josiah. But he walked in all the way of David, his father. And that was something that guided him for how he was going to rule and reign in the kingdom and what the kinds of things he would do. And the third fundamental root character quality of Josiah was he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. He was focused, right? He was focused. He's walking in the way of his father David. He didn't get distracted to the left or right. He just went straight on. And we remarked that our day and age in which we live, there are so many distractions all around us, not just in the world, but sometimes even in churches, to distract us away from the way that we ought to go, a way that our forefathers have laid out before us. And when I think of forefathers, I think of my own dad, who I miss greatly, but he was a great trailblazer for the truth of God and the Word of God, and a wonderful pastor, wonderful Bible teacher. You all know that. And thankful for people who have served the Lord in days gone by that we can look to as patterns for our own lives. So these three things are the kind of character qualities that we all as believers in Jesus Christ should have in our lives as well. Right? Do what's right in the sight of the Lord. Walk in all the way of forefathers who have served and loved the Lord. And don't turn to the right or to the left. Remember that Josiah was how old when he started to reign? He was 8 years old when he succeeded to the throne of Judah. His father Amnon, as we said, was an evil king. His grandfather Manasseh was an evil king who actually ruled the longest in Judah. 55 years he ruled in Judah. Most of those years were evil and wicked and idol worshiping and so on. But somehow, providentially, Josiah did not fall into those same character qualities of his forefathers. He looked back even further to his, 15th great-grandfather, David, for someone to emulate, someone to follow, and he walked in all his ways. We considered the timeline given in the scriptures concerning Josiah's exploits, his rule and reign. And we're told in the scriptures here that in his eighth year of reign, Josiah began to seek after the God of David, his father. You can see that in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3. We talked a little bit about that when we saw that. Josiah would have been 16 years old. So we don't give up on our teenagers. Here he is, 16 years old, and he began to seek after the God of his father, David. And so we have great hope and trust that we don't have any teenagers around here anymore. They've all grown up and moved away, but there's still great hope for even teen years to serve the Lord, to seek after God. Then we learned that when Josiah was in his 12th year of reign, so now he is 20 years old, tells us that he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from all of the pagan idolatrous worship that was going on in Judah at the time that had been established by his own father and grandfather. So Josiah broke down the altars of Baal. He destroyed their idols and destroyed all the groves that had been set up, places where they would worship idols and things like that. He even went outside of Jerusalem and Judah to Samaria and did the same thing. He was destroying pagan worship centers all over the place. And in essence, then, he was cleaning up the land and its spiritual life. And you can read about that in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3. So that was his 12th year, and he's been pretty busy boy for a lot of those years. And then the next thing to happen in Josiah's life was in his 18th year of reign. So he is now 26 years of age. You can read about that in 2 Kings 22, verses 3 through 7. And there we learn that the temple that Solomon had built had been in disrepair for many years because of the evil kings that reigned before Josiah. The temple, the house of the Lord, had been let go. In fact, a number of places in the temple had been set up for pagan idols and deities for people to worship. But the temple had ceased to be used as a place of worship for the Lord. And a lot of changes had taken place in the building to house that pagan worship. So, what did Josiah do? He got some workers together, and carpenters and masons and men and women who could work in metals, and he began to repair the breaches in the house of the Lord. You can see that in 2 Kings 22, verse 5. So he had a renovation project going on in the temple itself. Now, during the repair and the cleaning of the house of the Lord, the high priest, Hilkiah, found a book. As they were cleaning out some area, some room within some part of the building, and they discovered it was the Book of the Law. The Book of the Law. So Hilkiah gave that book to Shaphan the scribe, who then took it to the king. And you can read about that in 2 Kings 22, verses 8 through 10. We've already been through a number of these verses. So the Book of the Law was discovered. It had been buried someplace in the temple. Nobody missed it, it seems. And as they're cleaning out some part of the area, Hilkiah found the book. And he read it. And he said, this is the book of the law. He gave it to Shaphan. Shaphan took it to the king and read it before the king, even. Now, we are understanding that the book of the law would have been the first five books of our Old Testament, the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That would take a little while to read through. So it seems like they were able to take the time to do all of that. So a book that had been buried under stuff and forgotten about now has come back to light. And Josiah took a keen interest in that which had been found. All the kings before him could care less about the book of the law. They didn't want to have anything to do with it, really. And now the book is come to light. And Josiah, because he wants to do what's right in the sight of the Lord, took some time to read through the book and respond to the things that had been read. So once Josiah read the words of the book of the law, he immediately responded in grief and repentance. So are you in 2 Chronicles or Kings? Come to 2 Chronicles 34. Second Chronicles 34, find verse 19. Here's how good King Josiah responded to the words of the law, the book of the law. Verse 19. It came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, the servant of the king's, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For, notice, great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And so Josiah, we would say, felt badly that they had not been following the book. No, it wasn't just feeling badly. He had tremendous grief. He rent his clothes, which was an ancient sign of mourning and grief. This is terrible stuff. And so he was expressing his grief by renting his clothes. And then he asked the high priest and the scribe to go find out from the word of the Lord what was going to take place, because they had not followed anything in the book of the law. He said in verse 21, great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. So Hilkiah the high priest and Shaphan the scribe and a few others that were mentioned went to a prophetess, Huldah the prophetess. So we're not sure what that was all about and why this woman Huldah would be a prophetess there, keeper of the wardrobe, it says in verse 22. They spoke to her, and she gave them a word from the Lord. So she said that God was going to bring evil upon this place in verse 24 and 25. And so because the kingdom, the people, the priests, and so on, had not followed anything with the book of the law because they didn't know what was there in the first place, but God's wrath was going to be poured out. But interestingly enough, there was another word from the Lord to good King Josiah, and that's found in verse 26. It says, as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, did rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eye see all this evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. And so they brought the king word again. Do you think that Josiah was a little bit encouraged by that? He knew God's wrath is going to fall. He expressed his own grief and sorrow for not following anything in the word. And yet God says to him, because of how you have responded when you read the words in that book, then I will keep you safe from the days of wrath and calamity that I am going to bring upon this land because of the people leaving the Lord, that you will be gathered to thy grave in peace. I can just imagine Josiah going, that was a good one. And the Lord blessed him. So this is in his, what did we say, in his 18th year. So he's 26 years old. He ruled for 31 years, so he's got a few years left, 13 years, in fact. And so this would have been, a great encouragement to him, that the Lord heard him and his prayer, saw his humility, and would bless him for those final years. So judgment was coming, but not in Josiah's day, because he had responded in humility and tears before the Lord. God was going to spare him, and obviously then the kingdom, his wrath, until after Josiah would pass away and die. Then God's wrath would come. And you remember that Josiah was the last good king in Judah. His descendants, his sons, and so on, were evil, didn't do what was right in the sight of the Lord. So Josiah was the last good king, and I think the last good days for Judah as well. So as a result of the discovery of this book of the law, Josiah made a covenant with the Lord. And he had all of the elders and the priests and the Levites and all the people make, along with himself, this covenant before the Lord. Chapter 34, verse 29. The king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the Levites, all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to, notice, walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes. How? With all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God and God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their forefathers. What a great covenant that he has made, got everybody to agree to it, stand to it, and they did stand to it until the days of Josiah were finally over. One of the other things that they did as a result of reading the book of the law was celebrate the Passover. They hadn't done this for years either. Can you imagine? Israel not celebrating the Passover, at least not in the few years before with his evil father and grandfather. So they decided that they were going to have a Passover. They killed the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the first month, which is in accordance with Exodus chapter 12 and the beginning of the institution of Passover. They killed thousands of sheep, cattle, and goats for sacrifice. It was a magnificent event in the life of Judah. If you're in 2 Chronicles 35, look at verse 28. Nope. Find it in verse 28, because there's only 27 verses in there. My eyes are still not good, so I probably mistyped something. When you find it, you can let me know. This was an awesome... Verse 18. Thank you. Appreciate that. So, 18. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. So not only did Josiah humble himself before the Lord after having read all the words of the book of the law, he also instituted some of the things that God wanted his people to do. In this case, the Passover. And they went probably way overboard with keeping the Passover, sacrificing the lambs, and so on. But this was when he was in his 18th year, so he's 26 years old at this point in time. The final event in Josiah's reign was a tragic one. We're not told anything really of Josiah's life for the next 13 years. He ruled for 31 years, and he passed away when he was 39. So we don't know too much about the following 13 years in his life, but Josiah engaged himself with a fight against the king of Egypt. You can read about this in verses 20 to 24 in chapter 35. Oh, I got those wrong again. Oh, no. So 2 Chronicles 35, verse 20 down to 24. Is the account of Josiah involving himself with the king of Egypt. His name was Necho. Necho wasn't in battle with Judah at all. He was going through Judah up to Carchemish, where he was going to battle the Assyrians up near the river Euphrates. But for some reason, Josiah felt that he needed to step in to this. Maybe because Necho was crossing his land, and he needed to put up a strong front or something. We're not really told exactly why Josiah wanted to get in a battle with this man. Why he needed to go out against Necho, the king of Egypt. In the record that we have here, Necho even quoted God needing haste to get up to Carchemish to fight against the Assyrians. That's verse 21. King of Egypt is saying, God told me to make haste. The word God here is the Hebrew word Elohim, which is just the general term for God, just like in English, our term God could mean anything, really. It's used all over the place. So the question you got to ask is, did God really speak to Necho and said, you hurry up and get up there? Was the hurry up to hurry up and get through Israel so that, you know, you don't have to bother or fuss with them? We don't know. It is telling, it seems to me, that in this whole record, in this section, it's the word Elohim that is used, the word for God, instead of Jehovah. who had been leading Josiah all along up to this point in time. John Whitcomb, who was a well-known commentator, has an interesting comment about this. He said this: "Now came one of the strangest episodes in Old Testament history. The heathen king Necho II of Egypt informed Josiah that God had commanded me to make haste, and that if Josiah interfered with God's plan, God would destroy him." Verse 21. We would immediately dismiss such a statement as propaganda. Yeah, that makes sense. Of course, were it not for the explanation by the chronicler that Josiah hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God. And you can probably take some exception to say Mr. Whitcomb thinks that this was a real situation, that God had spoken to Necho, and that Josiah just dismissed that coming from the Lord. But Josiah could have just dismissed the fact that Necho said, "The Lord told me." Yeah, right. And just carry on. He said, furthermore, Necho must be believed, for Josiah was killed. What does this mean? Did Josiah lose his salvation because of disobedience? No, for Huldah had said that he would die in peace. Was Pharaoh Necho a prophet of Jehovah? No, for God had spoken to pagan kings directly at various times without necessarily transforming their hearts. We may conclude that God wanted to maneuver the Egyptian army to the Euphrates so that Nebuchadnezzar could destroy it as well as the Assyrian army, and thus fulfill his warning that the Babylonians would conquer and chasten Judah, according to Jeremiah 25, verses 8 through 11. It's a very strange event that took place in Josiah's life. He had done so well, and now it seems out of the blue, he wanted to enter into this battle with the king of Egypt. Sometimes, you know, even good kings and good people can get distracted into doing things that really are not helpful, really not good. We need to be so careful in our own lives that we're not distracted into involving ourselves in things that, for Josiah, wasn't any of his business. King of Egypt was going through up to Assyria. But for some reason, again, Josiah thought that he needed to get involved in a fight with the king of Egypt. The result of that, Josiah was shot with an arrow, wounded, and eventually died from that shot. You can read about that in verse 23 and 24. So thus ended the life of good King Josiah. For most of his years, he served the Lord well. Still not sure about this last event with the king of Egypt, what that was all about. But good King Josiah was well thought of in his life. In fact, we read in verse 25 that Jeremiah, that's the prophet Jeremiah, lamented for Josiah. It's interesting that that is mentioned here in the Chronicles of the Kings. The nation mourned, the people lamented for Josiah, as I think well they should, because he was a good king for them. The conclusion of Josiah's story is in verse 26 and 27. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, his deeds first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and of Judah. And I am thankful to the Lord that he included in the scriptures this account of King Josiah, some of the things that he did, his response to the word of the law, and his desire to do that was right in the eyes of the Lord. The Believer's Bible Commentary makes this comment concerning Josiah. Jeremiah lamented Josiah's death. The singers remembered him even after the captivity. Josiah was a man of one book. I like that. A man of one book, he lived by the law of the Lord, and his faithfulness is forever recorded in the word of the Lord. In Jeremiah 22, verse 16, we read about Josiah. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Was not this knowing me, saith the Lord? Josiah evidenced by his life that he knew God. He started early to seek the Lord and carefully obeyed the subsequent light that he received. Now, before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to the law of Moses, nor after him did any rise like him. Wow, what a legacy. That's found in 2 Kings 23:25. No other king like him, before him or after him. What a great testimony that is concerning this king, Josiah. And we must, I think, as we look at all that is recorded of him, we must not forget his root character that we looked at the very beginning. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Sets a good pattern even for us today. He walked in all the way of his father David, and he turned not to the right hand or to the left. He was well focused to follow the Lord. And I'm glad that we have the story of Josiah here in our scriptures as a reminder that it is possible, even when previous generations have been wicked, to still be a righteous a righteous nation. Remember, it's in our prayer sheet coming out of Proverbs that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. And we've been praying that righteousness might once again prevail, even in Canada. And perhaps the Lord will raise up someone like a Josiah who can help get our country back to where we need to be. Lastly, Josiah always seems to remind me of the Lord Jesus, except for the last bit. But the main part of his life reminds me of the Lord Jesus. He always did that which was right and good in the sight of the Lord. The Apostle Peter said to Cornelius when he went to evangelize the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, he said this about the Lord Jesus, about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So like Josiah, who went about doing good for his people, so the Lord Jesus came and did the same thing. Jesus Christ did what the Father had given him to do, without turning to the left or to the right. And we know, of course, that Jesus is in the line of King David, so he himself walking in the ways of King David. And as great as Josiah was, the Lord Jesus Christ is greater still, right? It says in Jeremiah that there was no other king like Josiah before or after him. We say the same thing about Jesus Christ. There's no one like the Lord Jesus before him or after him. He's the most important and significant person in all of history, in all of the universe, past, present, and future. There's no one like him. He is holy. And so when we read about Josiah, we ought to think about the Lord Jesus as well and all that he was and is even today, and trust ourselves to him. In fact, as the comment in the Believer's Bible Commentary said, he was a man of one book, Josiah was. Well, we look at the Lord Jesus and we find that he is the Word, right? He is the Word himself of one book. And he became flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus, Josiah walked in all the ways of his father David. The Lord Jesus is the way. And through his life, we have the way to the Father. John 14:6. So I trust that the character of Josiah may be a type of the Lord Jesus in some sense, may be found in us today. That those three root characteristics would be ours, that we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we would be in the book. We are people of one book, right, the Bible. When I was at Old Central, the Bible publisher, Regular Baptist Press, we knew the Canadian rep who lived here in London from days gone by, Phil Walker. And so they had a conference, and they were having it at Old Central, and I was asked to give kind of a quote-unquote keynote address. And so the theme for Regular Baptist Press that in those days was a people of the book. And so I was able to put together a little devotional dwelling on people of one book. And that's who we are as Baptists, people of the book. And if it's not in the scriptures, we don't want to be anywhere near that. If it is found in the Word of God, then we need to address it in our own lives, just like Josiah did in his day. May we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and look to Josiah as a pattern for us in living for the Lord. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So let us maintain our humble spirit and attitude before the Lord as we seek to serve him and do those things that are given to us in his book. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for Josiah. We thank you for inspired to be written and contained in the scriptures concerning him. Some things that we can learn from him as well for our own lives in these days in which we live. And we thank you that we have a similar model before us, that of the Lord Jesus himself. Thank you that we can trust him. Thank you for giving us your grace in times when we really need some help and trust in and strength to trust the Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us, dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for the gift of salvation through grace and simple faith and trust in thyself. And we pray that we might have the character of a Josiah in our lives as well, to do what's right in your sight, to follow in the ways of the Lord, and to be focused and not turn right or left to all the distractions that are around us even today. And we do pray that you would help us to be steady and focused until the day that the Lord Jesus comes to take us home to be with himself. We trust that believing that the rapture is imminent, that perhaps as we see the world around us and understand that we're in the last days, that rapture time may be soon. And we just pray that you would help us to be always steady and to serve you and to trust you in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.